Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you from the Feeding Arizona complex in Youngtown, Arizona. Feeding Arizona is also the home of Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food boxes are always free. Nobody pays a penny for the food that they need to put on their table so they can hopefully give their families a good several square meals a day. This past Thanksgiving, Jesse Ramirez, the executive director and founder of Valley View Community Food Bank, distributed almost 5,000 food boxes to those in need that lined up for 3 days down the block and around the corner. It was quite a sight to behold, and every one of them got a complete Thanksgiving dinner, including a turkey to take home and cook for their families. So very good work being done by the Valley View Community Food Bank, and if you'd like to contribute to their efforts, contact them at valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. That's valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. And I'm Pete Peters. This is the Boomer the Babe Show. We are put on and produced by Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Deborah Brown is working on a project away from our studio today, so we will not have her voice with us. But we do have the voice of another gentleman, and we have a lady's voice with us today also. So we're going to be getting to them in just a minute. I just want to remind everybody that Boomer and the Babe Incorporated is involved in more than this radio show. We publish many books and e-books, and our e-book authors all have their own shows on the Boomer and the Babe Network right here on the Blog Talk system. We invite you to listen to those as well. We produce videos, promotional, self-promotional products, consult for small businesses. We are truly a multifaceted, multimedia marketing company. As I mentioned, I'm Pete Peters. We have two guests with us today. We're going to be talking about Social Security, and Social Security Solutions is the name of the company. And we're going to be discussing things that we baby boomers need to know before we start taking our Social Security and how various things can affect it adversely and how we can affect it to the positive. And our guests today are Mr. William Meyer, who is one of the executives with Social Security Solutions, and Robin Bruton. I don't know exactly what Robin's title is, but we're going to find out in just a minute. So, folks, welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm very glad to have both of you with us, and you could, if you would, in turn, give your two-minute movie, as Deborah would call it if she were here, a little bit of background about yourselves, where you've been, what you've done, where you hail from, and all that good stuff, and right up until you started to work for where you are now, and then we'll get into all the inner workings of that as part of our conversation later. So whoever would like to go first, ready, set, begin.
Bill, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Thanks, Robin. This is Bill Meyer, and I'm CEO of Social Security Solutions. But for the last 20 years, I've been in financial services, as an advisor and as an executive at companies like Charles Schwab, Advisor Software. I was on the board and ran a business at H&R Block. But my niche in the movie all comes down to giving better advice to normal people, not rich people, all people. It's really important to me. Financial services as an industry hasn't always done the right thing. And what I've been passionate about is how can we serve more people, giving people the best advice possible, and was involved in launching Schwab.com and building a lot of software that advisors use across the country, from, again, Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade. The ETF space have been instrumental in the companies I work for in building those technologies that other advisors or consumers use online to help themselves. And as of late, we focused in the retirement space because, you know, there really was a product focus. You know, now we're trying to figure out how to really be consumer-centric and help people with the biggest issues they have, like how to take Social Security and how to draw down on their assets. So we're excited to be here, and that's my movie.
Robin?
All right. Thank you. Unlike Bill, I don't come from a long history of financial services. In fact, I have had a very different career. I spent about 25 years in human resources careers with the likes of Wells Fargo Banks, Cox Communications, Time Warner Cable, and spent all of those years watching employees retire, wondering how to do it right, wondering how to take the 401k money they had saved, wondering how to integrate a pension if they were lucky enough to have one, and wondering how to wrestle through Social Security claiming and how to get everything right so they had a good, wonderful, fulfilling retirement. On the other side of it, it's very personal for me. I also watched my own parents as they worked through retirement and dealt with various issues. So a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I met Bill and really appreciated his passion for retirees and for, as he said, doing the right thing, giving them the best quality advice that's out there. So my role with our company has evolved into one that is all about the client services. And, you know, there's just no greater satisfaction than dealing with our clients and helping them make the right Social Security decisions, because for a lot of them, it makes a difference in their quality of life in retirement. So that's my movie, if you will.
Sure. It's interesting, I think, nowadays, because as we've discussed with many of our guests on this show over the period of time, this is not your father's retirement anymore or your grandfather's retirement. So therefore, I would imagine that a lot of the things about being retired, or if we're ever going to retire, certainly have changed a lot. And Social Security, it's always in the news. Is it going to be around? Are they going to cut it? What's going to happen to it? And so on and so forth. And all that being the new way of looking at things and having to deal with things. But let's talk a little bit about Social Security itself. When did Social Security come into existence?
Robin, you want to take that stuff?
I certainly can, and we can chime in together, I guess. Social Security started in the 30s, in 1935, as a way of protecting the widows, in particular, from living a life of poverty. And, of course, you're exactly right in that what retirement meant back then was very different than what it meant today, as someone was literally forced out of work. They didn't have the stamina. They didn't have the health to continue working. So they were typically forced out of the workplace and had no income. So the Social Security Act was created so that those folks would have some income to live on for literally a few years. The life expectancy after leaving the workplace was, in some cases, only a handful of years, and it wasn't the 20 or 30 or more years that we're seeing today. But Social Security's been around since the 30s.
Well, it was just that, and I wanted to make, and I knew you were going to probably say that because we try never to ask a question that we don't somewhat know the answer to, I guess. But that's true. It was not ever designed to be what it has become. It wasn't designed to last from somebody first being able to claim it at age 62, I guess it is now, till possibly and taking it for another 30 years, because that 30-year life expectancy just wasn't even thought of at that time.
But that's also the opportunity, Pete. You know, the rule, you're spot on that, you know, we've evolved since it started, but because there are so many rules and people are living longer, that's where if you can leverage them, you can get a lot more out of the system. And that's what we're excited to talk about.
Well, we will certainly get to that. I was interested in talking to you when we had our first conversation some weeks ago about the fact, and I'm sure we'll get into what the possibilities are, but there are different ways of taking your Social Security payment. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And we'll get into that. I want to add one more comment because it's always
sure.
in the front of your listener's mind, and Robin started to allude to it, and you did as well, and that is, hey, is Social Security going to be around? So giving the demographic
yeah.
shift, you know, the first thing we hear is, oh, well, I'm going to claim early, and 62 is the earliest you can take Social Security. And mostly because the media has said, oh, well, this thing's at risk, and people are fearful. And the number is 74% of Americans take as early as possible. And what we believe is that there is a ton of misinformation about the viability of Social Security. So what Robin and I say is Social Security will need to change. With the influx of baby boomers and the amount of taxpayers paying into the system, there just won't be enough money to cover everyone. However, and this is where the bad information comes in, right now the amount of money in the trust fund covers everyone through 2037. So, you know, if you really get into the research and you look at the Social Security Administration says, what the academics say, if you're over 55, there is a very low chance of you being impacted by any impending changes. And again, I want to be clear, there will be a change, but for true baby boomers, they can leverage the rules as of today. They can consider strategies where they do delay, if that's something that is part of their strategy, and not be impacted. The final comment I'll have, Pete, is that remember, the last two changes that happened at Social Security were in 77 and 83, and we had 7 and 17 years of advance notice. It's just too complex. So, you know, again, the system will be changing but won't impact a majority of baby boomers.
Let's talk a little bit, just briefly, about the fund, the Social Security Fund. Is the Social Security Fund, as it exists today, is it intact completely as it would be as any of the money that has been, I believe, taken from the fund for other purposes and other budgeting? Has it ever been repaid? Will it ever be repaid? Is that taken into account when you're talking about these longevity figures?
Yeah, sure. There's actually two sets of numbers. So the first one is the actual money that's in the fund, and that can pay, it's $4.3 trillion, and that will pay 100% of benefits through 2023. And then there's something called reserves. Now, those reserves extend the amount of payments to the 2037 number that I gave. And there are a series of notes that the U.S. government uses where it taps into that money and then repays back to the Social Security Fund. So depending on how you look at it and how cynical you are about the government today, you know, you look at those numbers and say, all right, well, somewhere between 2023 and a commitment, because Social Security is like a pension, so they have a commitment through 2037. So, you know, to date there have been paybacks. I think, again, there's a lot of misunderstanding about how the government pays back Social Security. But I personally, again, a lot of smart people are working on this, and you know, the bottom line is there is a big chunk of money to be paid out to baby boomers, and if you're over 55, I really don't think that it's going to be an issue for you.
Well, that's encouraging to the younger boomer set. That's for sure. I'm a leading edge kind of guy, but that's certainly encouraging. It's certainly encouraging to my other half, to the babe, as it were, to Deborah. She's closer to that 55 mark than I am. So that's nice to know that there may be something left for her after I'm dead and gone. Let's talk a little bit now about. How did Social Security Solutions, your company, what motivated you to do it? I know you have a care for people and their investments and so on, but how did it get started?
Yeah, sure. I'll take this one, Robin.
Okay.
I founded the company 3 years ago, and it really was an offshoot of a larger company that we have called Retiree Inc. And that website for that company is retireeincome.com. And why I give you this background is the other person that's not on the phone that's our partner is Bill Richtenstein. He's an endowed professor at Baylor. And he really is the authority in financial services on how to draw down your money tax efficiently. And I've been one of those frustrated guys, Pete, for the last 20 years in financial services because as an industry, we didn't have an effective way to help people draw down on their money. We were pretty good, and we always talked about how to grow your money, like what is your number for retirement. But we really didn't have a good set of policies on how to draw down. So when I joined Bill Richtenstein, who's calling me right now, we're creating this software package to help people figure out across their savings the most efficient way to draw down. And a big component is actually 38% of a baby boomer's retirement comes from Social Security. That's the average in America. So arguably the largest piece of someone's retirement is Social Security. Growing up in this business, I was never trained on Social Security. So long story short, Bill and I published an article in the Journal of Financial Planning last May of 2010, and it got a lot of recognition within our industry. So we looked at each other and said, you know what, we know more about Social Security and strategies on when to take it than anyone else in the country. You know, we had studied this really on how to take Social Security and draw down with everything else you have. So we spun out the software and all the IP, the intellectual property we had, and we put it into Social Security Solutions. So what we have now is a nice service that a baby boomer can go in, enter in their personal information about their benefits that they get off their statement and their mortality, their birth date, and they can leverage all of our work to find out the best way to get the most amount of benefits. So the short story or movie, as you say, is we tripped across Social Security. We realized that it was so important, and we had a lot of knowledge in that area. We wanted to make it available to as many people as possible on socialsecuritysolutions.com.
Well, you mentioned a way to get your benefits or to increase your benefits. I thought Social Security benefits were pretty much cast in concrete, that you take it at age 62, this is how much you get. You take it at age 67, this is how much you get. Take it at age 70, this is how much you get. I mean, is that what you're talking about as far as the increasing your benefits?
Yeah. I'll take this one, Robin. You can do the next. People don't get tired of my voice. And that's what you are just like a majority of Americans, Pete, and that is there are a lot of misconceptions about how someone can leverage the rules to get more. So there's a concept called your full retirement age. So based on when you're born, the Social Security Administration will tell you when your retirement age is. And for people born between 1943 and 54, which is a majority of baby boomers, their full retirement age is 66. And as an example, if you can start as early as 62 or as late as 70. If you start early, you get less benefits. If you start late, you get more. And it's all based relative to this full retirement age. So as an example, Pete, if you start early and you're a baby boomer, you essentially get 75% of your benefits. Again, that benefit's based on your full retirement age. So you get 75% of it. However, inversely, if you wait until you're 70, you can get 32% more of your benefits. So there's an advantage to delay. And there's all these calculations on how it works, but really the concept is you can get less if you go early the rest of your life, or you get more. The confounding variable, however, and this is where it gets interesting, is there are other benefits that someone can leverage. So you and the babe can figure out how you take spousal benefits, not just your own, but how you can switch between each other to get spousal benefits, and how survivor benefits plays in. So, you know, a majority of Americans rely on Social Security for income after one of their after a spouse passes away. So there's different calculations for survivorship as well. So given the complexity and nuances, you can be divorced, you can work for the government, you have all these factors. When you put them together, it represents a big opportunity. And what we found, for some married couples, we can get them over $200,000 more by leveraging these rules. So what we're hoping through your radio show and through people listening is to get the word out. Hey, don't take this decision for granted. It's the largest financial decision 99% of Americans will make. The net present value of your Social Security is over $1 million, Pete. So really look at this thing closely. And we're not there's no optimal strategy for one person that applies to everyone. It really gets personalized based on the nuances of your situation. But lots of little different rules.
Hey, that brought up a. As you're speaking, I'm thinking, oh my God. Now, here's what I'm going to assume. When you're talking to me today, assume that I know nothing, please, because I know nothing. I obviously screwed up and took mine early, but nonetheless, in the situation where I have X number of hours that Social Security hours to my credit. Is that correct?
Yeah. You want me to take this one, Robin, or you want
it
to do
it? It doesn't matter. I'm all happy right. to talk through it as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, you do earn credits for work where Social Security taxes are paid, but your benefits are predominantly determined based on your highest 35 years of earnings. If you have years within those 35 where you didn't have any earnings, the administration does average in zeros. So your benefits are calculated, again, given those highest 35 years of earnings. Now, as Bill alluded to just a few minutes ago, there are situations, for example, if you worked for the government and or in a particular type of school district where Social Security taxes were not paid on your earnings, your Social Security benefits will be affected. But the predominant calculation is around those 35 years of earnings.
Okay, so now there's a calculation there, and based on my 35 years of earnings, I have X number of dollars in my personal pot, so to speak. Is that an accurate way of stating it?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it actuarially that you have money. And, you know, people talk about it. It's a big Ponzi scheme, right? You know, that everyone puts money in and you're going to get money out of the system. And the issue that we have and spoke about at the beginning of the show, Pete, was, you know, there's essentially going to be not as many people putting money into the system as taking out. That's the issue
right.
with baby boomers. But
right.
the whole notion that you put money in, and this is a big annuity sponsored by the government that pays out over time, is the right way to look at it.
Okay, so now I've got this pot of money that I have accrued over my top 35 years of earning. And if I start taking it at age 62, the amount per month is less than if I wait till age 66 or have to take it at 70. The
right.
monthly amount that I would receive from I'm assuming is going to be from my pot of gold is going to be distributed to me in larger or smaller amounts depending on when I decide to start taking it. Is that accurate?
Not really. I mean, conceptually, you can think of it that way, and a lot of Americans do. Hey, I paid into the system. I want to get my money out. It's more like and this is a similar concept as a pension at work. You know, yes, this is your money, but the way it really works is all the monies are pooled together and then paid out. Now, there are actuaries with the government that make these calculations, you know, to figure out how you and people like you will get their money. And really what it all comes down to is for a single person, keeping it simple, Pete, is we call it the break-even age. So for a single person, the government doesn't really discern the difference between a man and a woman and when they're going to die. So if you take your money at 62, yes, it's a lower amount. If you take it 66, it's a higher amount. The key is that it is exactly, you'll get the same amount of money out of the system if you live to just past 80 years old. So essentially, you get all, you know, it's a wash. You know, you can you start early, you get less, or you wait and you get more. But if you live to 80 and you run the numbers, and it's the same if you delayed to 70, it's about the same amount of money if you live to 80. Now, the key here is if you live past 80, this is where delaying actually allows you to get more money out of the system than what they planned for. So this is where, you know, with better medicine and people living healthy lives, you know, in your personal situation, you sit down and say, hey, what are the odds that Pete and the Babe are going to live past, you know, age 80? And if the answer is yes, that's where you can start to get creative around getting more money. If the answer is no, then you need to start thinking about strategies and a date where you start that is before, you know, the age of your full retirement age.
Okay, that's kind of what I was getting at, is that at some point, where was that point that it was going to wash? I mean, that you will have gotten back your maximum.
Yeah.
Now, is the amount that that you get back at the various ages that you begin, is it something that is the amount? Will, in other words, the amount will always be the same based on what your original 35 years are. Is that correct?
No.
The amount in your pot, so to speak. I know that's not probably the right, as we've determined,
nope,
not necessarily the right way to say it.
No, don't think about the pot anymore, because here's let's juxtapose this scenario to your concept. So imagine that you are going to live to 100 years old and you delay and take benefits at 70. I know you took it 62.
Right.
Essentially, what we have is a concept that we call cumulative benefits. The way to look at it is you add up everything that the government's paid you over time,
mm-hmm,
and you look at what that number is. And we call that cumulative benefits. So we're going to add it all up. And essentially, if you add up all those benefits and you live a long time, you're getting a lot more out of the system than,
gotcha,
someone that started at 62 and kicks the bucket at age 75, right?
Right.
So that's where for someone approaching Social Security in this decision, it's really important for them to sit down and run the numbers. And if you're married, to combine it with them, because there are different ratios between people's benefits amounts, whether they're high or low, it doesn't matter. There's different implications of if someone dies early or late, you know, so maybe you will get ill, I hope not, but if you die early and have a higher benefit amount, then the babe can get that in survivor benefits. So, again, there are all these rules that you can leverage to get more out of the system. And that's what Robin and I espouse, is, hey, get the most that you're entitled to. Because like you, people go in thinking, oh, I'm just going to file an application. And here's a key point I really want to highlight, and that is Social Security agents. There's a lot of great people that work in those Social Security offices, but the government does not allow any of those good people to give advice. So part of the reason why 74% of Americans get the lowest amount possible is the government is saying, hey, don't tell anyone that they can get more by delaying. You know, so they can give you information,
right,
but they're not going to give you advice. And it's really important that your listeners, again, go out and do a little research. You know, it takes 30 seconds to enter the information into our site and get a recommendation on how to get the most out. And that's what people should really do.
I'm going to assume, however, that there are instances where somebody is better off taking their Social Security at a lesser amount at a younger age, and primarily that would be either need for the money because they have no employment any other way at that time and they need to survive, or they have health issues that it's an indeterminate length of time that they have to remain amongst those walking around. I'm assuming that those are two possibly for taking it younger. What might be others? Are there any others?
Yeah, it's spot on. It happens all the time. People haven't saved enough, and they have to take it out. We've optimized all our logic for, again, terminally ill people. It happens all the time. So, the two that you've identified are the biggest. The other that happens that Robin and I see, you know, are around what we call behavioral economics. So, for whatever reason, there's a lot of people, even if you show them, hey, you can get a lot more money out of the system, they either feel that Social Security is not going to be around, so they're cynical about the government, or the other one is around what the whole notion of liquidity. You know, people just don't like to tap their savings. They consider it sacred and want to keep the money they've accumulated as much as possible. So there's this notion of, all right, well, I'll take Social Security now, and I feel better because I'm not tapping my investments. And this is a real issue, and that's where our planning service I mentioned before on retireeincome.com, where we put Social Security together on how someone draws down their assets to show them, all right, well, you may delay your Social Security to get more benefits. Yes, you'll have to tap your savings, but, you know, net-net, you're going to have a lot more money. And you're confidentially, we're publishing a new paper that's coming out this coming spring in the Journal of Financial Planning. That's
but
talking
we won't tell
about
anybody.
just that. I mean, you can get a lot more longevity, up to 10 years longer by optimizing Social Security. So, you know, I guess I'll conclude by saying, you know, we just did a plan for some professors up in Minnesota, and they just didn't feel comfortable about drawing down their money so far. They knew from a numeric standpoint that they should delay, but they just didn't want to winnow it down. So we came up with a compromise. So they realized, hey, starting early, which when they called us, they were convinced they were going to go early, but they didn't want to delay because they didn't want to draw down too much of their assets. So we did Goldilocks. We did somewhere in the middle. And that's where, again, our software that we have allows you to see how much the most you can get, but then personalize it to your situation. You know, we can't say, hey, this is the right way for everyone to take it. So, I'd say you identified the two big ones, but the second one is this behavioral issue of people just don't feel good about starting to draw down on their money early. So you got to look at the big picture.
How many people that you deal with, and with all of your computations and permutations and your software and all the wonderful things that you do, how many people end up saying, you know, I still want to take it early. I understand. Thank you very much, but I still want to take it now. Does that happen very often?
Robin takes a ton of calls. I'll let you address this one.
I do. I talk to a lot of clients. And, of course, ultimately, we don't know what claiming strategy they will choose. However, I can tell you that most of the people who access our software online and do call in to visit about it are shocked. They are literally shocked at how much more money they can get if they wait, and they just hadn't thought through all of those issues that we've just talked about, the behavioral economics piece of it in particular. They begin to realize after having a conversation with someone who is a specialist in Social Security and does understand the rules and, you know, knows something about the political environment, they begin to see that the fear they've had about going ahead and or about waiting, not wanting to wait, going ahead and collecting their money early is an unfounded fear. So while I can't say how many of them do ultimately claim early, I can tell you that the overwhelming majority of clients we work with are content to wait because they just didn't realize there were so many rules that they could leverage and get more collective or cumulative lifetime benefits.
Let me add to that, because I think what's interesting, you know, since I'm a numbers guy and look at the data, qualitatively, Robin's spot on. Quantitatively, there was a study that just came out in September that ask people about these crazy claiming strategies that we espouse. And while 9 out of 10 baby boomers understood the general dynamics of if I go early, I get less, if I wait, I get more, only 27% of people in America were aware of all these unusual claiming strategies like file and suspend and restricted application. So, you know, my answer is just like Robin's. The majority of people take our advice. They see how much money, extra money. They want money. They just don't have an analytical tool to help them understand the rules. So I'd say, and this sounds harsh, there's ignorance in America. There isn't enough real information about this opportunity. The government doesn't have an incentive to really educate people. It's too complicated. The Social Security agents can't help people because they're swarmed with lots of people in these offices. So the biggest issue, and that's why we thank you for having us on the show, Pete, is we just need to get information out. This is a huge decision. You know, 70% of Americans have no idea this opportunity even exists. So,
and to piggyback on what you said, what we are able to do is help them cut through the clutter and the confusion and give them that data side by side so that they can look at multiple strategies literally side by side and see the difference that it can make.
In seconds. That's exactly right. Within seconds, you can cut through all the complexity to get a recommendation and play around to see what's best for you.
Well, this is my a political bent on my part now. I do agree with you 100% when you say that the vast majority of the American public doesn't know what the hay is going on, because and I don't care what it's about, and whether it's Social Security or whether who's running for the election in your own district, they don't know anything. Everybody just takes the news at face value and say, that must be gospel. By God, it's on the internet. It must be true.
Right.
And it is totally confusing, and nobody can take the time, or nobody does take the time, to sit down and actually take the initiative on themselves to find out what's really happening so they can make an informed decision. And that's what I like about what you're doing. You're giving people the tools to make an informed decision. You mentioned... There was a couple of terms, and now it slipped my mind because it came by so fast. The claimant file and suspend. What is file and suspend?
Want to take this one, Robin?
I can. Sure. File and suspend is one of those fairly complicated and becoming more known. It was a little known strategy for a number of years, but there's been a number of writers, particularly internet bloggers, who are starting to get the word out about file and suspend. And that strategy involves one spouse filing for benefits and immediately suspending those benefits, which makes his or her spouse eligible to claim a spousal benefit. So at my full retirement age of 66, I can file for benefits on my own earnings record but suspend them, which will allow my spouse to begin collecting half of my full retirement benefit at that time, while my own benefit based on my earnings record will continue to earn what are called delayed retirement credits. Delayed retirement credits are those extra dollars, if you will, that you get between the ages of 66 and 70. It's that reward for waiting to claim your benefits, and it accrues at 8% per year.
So then now when you reach 70, and now do you start taking your full benefit at whatever it is at that time?
If you wait till 70 to claim, you will, yes, claim your benefit, and it will be greater than what's called your full retirement benefit, which is what you would have gotten at age 66. Those delayed retirement credits will add up, and it'll be 132% of that amount if your full retirement age was 66.
And now you have a great hedge. So if something happens to you, The way survivor benefits are calculated is 82.5% of your own benefits or the higher amount of your spouse's. So now that you've gotten your benefits as high as possible at age 70, if something, and again, it's, that higher amount's considered for your spouse if you pass away. And again, that goes on for as long as your spouse lives. And we wrote about this, we call this longevity risk. So this is a great kind of life insurance type of a vehicle that, you know, if you die early, Pete, your wife could get that higher amount if she lives to 100. So coordinating all these switching strategies and these little rules can add up to tens of thousands, some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars more, and that's why, again, you got to run the numbers.
Now, that is absolutely amazing to me that possibility is even out there. That's number one. Number two, is it my correct assumption that you have to make all of those decisions at the time you initially file?
The answer is no. And that's where we talk about constructing this strategy, or we provide a quote-unquote solution. And when you come to our website and you enter in your information, we give this very specific instructions on what you need to do when, the month and the year. Now, you can have decisions on when to start. But then there are also decisions around having to go in filing when you want to turn on or off spousal, as an example. But there are a lot of nuanced rules. There's a rule called the deemed filing rule, which hurts you where you can't control your switching. And if you're not under the deemed filing rule and you control the timing when someone starts, then you have more control on when someone switches. So while for a majority of people, let's say 80%, you can go in, you can fill out the paperwork for a restricted application, there typically, are other steps. So let's say in Robin's example that I filed a restricted application so that my wife could get spousal, I could delay to 70, but if I wanted to start at 68, turn my benefits on, I'd march into the office and need to say, hey, I'm restricted, but I want to start at 68. So it just depends on your strategy. And when you start to get into more sophistication, typically there are a couple more steps that you have to do. But it becomes worth it because we're getting someone so much more money, and our software tells you exactly what to do. Or we have a service where you call us up. It's an 800 number, and we hold your hand and walk you through exactly what you need to do.
All right, I'm taking mine. I started taking mine at age 62. Just like any number of other people, I had a tax guy that I thought was doing me doing me right, but maybe he wasn't. But anyhow, I took it. I'm taking it since 62. Can I change it now?
You want to take this one, Robin, or want me to do it?
Go ahead. I know you just were dealing with somebody not long ago about this.
Yeah, I'm smiling too. So what ended up happening, and this is an important comment, a question. So in December of 2010, the rules changed so that you couldn't quote unquote redo your Social Security. So up until last December, if you started filing in your case and you met us and we showed you a better way, we could have done it over for you. You got a mulligan. However, they changed the rules, and they are now that you only have 12 months from the time that you filed to change your mind. So you do have a window to do an assessment and make a change, but that window is only a year. Now, the implication of this is what I want to highlight, and that is, all right, if this is the largest financial decision of your life, it's a $1 million decision for you and the babe, why wouldn't you spend the time to really look at this and analyze it? Because you can't change it. Once you make this decision, it's irrevocable. And that's why we got to get this word out that people really pause and they think about it and run their numbers, because they're not going to be able to change it in the future. It's really, really important that we get this message out to people.
So that window is closed for me.
That's closed for you. Now, I guess I'll continue on. So you're going to ask me, what are your options? So Bill Richtenstein, I'll credit him. We worked very hard on our logic, and he spent a lot of time on this and agony. I heard him bellyache a lot. He's obviously we're all good friends, but the logic on how you optimize when someone has suboptimally started is super complex, and there's no one else in the country that has this logic. So guess what, Pete? You got to go under our tool, SocialSecuritySolutions.com. Sign up, and you enter in your information on when you claimed, and we will tell you on what the babe should do to get the most out of the system, not just for her by herself, but in combination with when you have started. And it's really important. So it's not too late. If both husband and wife have started, it's past 12 months, there's nothing we can do. Then we start to plan around taxes and your other assets. That's what we'd focus on. But for you and many Americans where one person has already started, it's not too late for you. Don't despair. Go back in. Our logic can still help you, and we can help you recover. You may leave some money on the table, but there's still money to be gleaned by figuring out what the other spouse should do. And I highly recommend that you check it out and give us a call and tell us what you think.
Well, it's nice to know that I shouldn't start thinking of a barrel ride over Niagara or anything like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. There is just so much stuff going on that people don't know about, and it's nice to talk to some people that really have some good positive information.
Well, the other part of it, when we go around the country and do education, if you're a baby boomer right now, there's really two elements. The first and foremost is finding someone you trust. Right? I mean, there are a lot of good people, but you just don't know who to trust. Everyone sounds great. Everyone has a nice message. But it's finding someone that you trust, and the second one is finding someone who's an expert. And what I'd tell your listeners is you may have a great advisor to help you as you accumulated your assets, but the discipline, the rules, the expertise on how to draw down are totally different. It's a different tool chest. So you need to find someone that has both, someone you trust and someone who's an expert in all these details and can make it simple. I learned this. I'm proud of working for Charles Schwab. It's a great company, and what we did in building that company was all about the consumer, and I believe that everyone should understand their financial plan and the nuances. A lot of advisors have jargon, and even in what Robin and I do with rules of Social Security, if you can't understand some of the details at a high level on how you can get more money, then, you know, we got to pause and explain it to you. You should understand that. So someone you trust, someone who's an expert, and then the last criteria I'd say is someone who can make it easy for you to understand and who's your partner.
A couple of random questions here, just a curiosity. How much is the average Social Security benefit?
Right now, the average Social Security monthly benefit is just under $1,100. I think I read for October of 2011, the average was $1,082 a month. And, you know, that's not a lot of money for most Americans. So whatever you can do to maximize that benefit, to get the most you're eligible for, is critical, especially considering that so many Americans have lost so much of their savings over the last few years. $1,082 a month won't go very far.
No, it certainly won't. Ben, now there is a slight increase coming in January, correct?
Yes, there is, yes.
Yeah, the cost of living adjustment kicks in after 2 years of not having any. So, it's important. It definitely is important.
Mm-hmm. Now, are Social Security benefits taxable?
Yes. You know, I'm a nerd, so you know, we'll talk about taxes, but I'll probably put people to sleep. And a friend of mine bonked me on the head and said, you know, you like talking about taxes, but really you need to focus on what it means for a normal person. And she was exactly right. And here's why taxes matter, Pete, is that at the end of the day, Uncle Sam's going to get a piece of this. And, you know, what I spend to buy groceries and to keep the heat on in my house is after-tax money. So you know, the number Robin said, you know, whatever the, you know, 1,100 is the average or whatever your number is, at the end of the day, you don't have 1,100. You're going to have that 1,100 minus taxes. Or the 1,100, there's actually something called the earnings test. So if you have a part-time job, your Social Security can be reduced. So the point around taxes is really you have to figure out how much Social Security is taxed because that's the amount of money you're going to have left over. And unfortunately, Social Security taxation is again, it's super complex. You know, we've made it really hard for the average person to understand how it's calculated. And without getting into the details and boring everyone, your Social Security, either 85% of it's taxed, 50%, or zero. So imagine a world, Pete, where we could come in and help someone be taxed at 50% as opposed to 85% of their Social Security getting taxed. I mean, those are decisions that, again, can be life-changing and give you a lot more money to live on, to play golf, to go to the movies, to buy food. So, you know, the implications of maximize your Social Security are one, but then looking at it after taxes with other assets you have to try to keep as much of what you've worked hard to earn is what the message is here. So we have a tax, as part of our service, we have a calculator that helps you quantify how much taxes will be taken out of your Social Security. You know, and it gets, you know, all the crazy rules on how it's taxed. You enter in your own information, and again, in 30 seconds, we'll tell you how it works. And if you want, I'll get into the details on how taxes will work, but it's the takeaway for really a majority of your listeners are is figure out how much Social Security you're going to have after taxes and try to get the less taxes is better.
Make that after-tax number as big as you possibly can.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And this tax calculation is really complex. I'll give you an example. So there are three tests on Social Security. After you do the tests, the lowest test is what someone uses to determine their tax rate. So I'll give you an example. So one test is 85% of your Social Security benefits. Test number two is 50% of your benefits plus 85% of provisional income beyond this second threshold. Now, these thresholds based on, you know, it's a number based on whether you're single or married. Here's the third test, 50% of provisional income beyond the first threshold plus 35% of provisional income behind the second threshold. Oh, my gosh, it's just your eyes roll back in your head. So the average advisor can't even do these calculations. I present a lot, and I've never had any CPA or advisor articulate exactly how the rule works. Everyone has a calculator or spends half an hour reading the rules and doing these numbers. But the difference between, again, running the number to know what it is, so you can have a budget, but also being sophisticated to see if you can reduce your taxation is what we're really getting at. So Robin and I and Bill Richtenstein, we made it really simple for people. Go in, figure out what your Social Security, how you maximize it, but also go in and use our tool to figure out what your taxes are. And then find an advisor who's an expert in drawing down, because you can combine where you withdraw your money. So if you withdraw a 401k that's taxed at your ordinary income level, it may impact your Social Security taxation and increase it. So there's ways that you can take from certain asset types to reduce your Social Security taxation, which, remember the goal. The goal is to keep as much as what you've earned, maximizing that after-tax income that you're going to get for yourself.
Well, I've got an 88-year-old mother that is receiving Social Security, basically my father's Social Security benefit after he passed,
mm-hmm.
plus whatever she got as her own, although she never... I don't know exactly how that works. I don't know that she had 35 years of employment anywhere. I mean, she was always a housewife in the days gone by. And, of course, she has his pension from his former employer, whatever portion of that she gets as his surviving spouse. And this lady doesn't pay any taxes. I mean, she has her money that comes in. We file it. We go to the calculator and say, no, flat tax, nothing. No, nothing to worry about. So how often does that happen? Is that standard procedure, or is she an exception to the rule?
Well, the companies I've worked for and in our corporate strategy, we do a lot of what's called segmentation. I mean, there are a lot of Americans, and you alluded to this early, this isn't your mother, but a lot of people who need this money, don't have a lot of other means, will go as early as possible. They have no choice.
Right.
There are also people just like your mother where, and I think, I'll pull up the number, but it's something like 42% of beneficiaries or surviving widows or widowers rely on Social Security as 90% of their income. So, the bottom line is that Americans have not saved enough. And people will become more dependent on Social Security, and there's a lot of people where this is their only income means. So in those cases, it is simple. It's the only thing you got. You're not going to be taxed on it, and we can't make as much of a difference for your mother in that example. However, for everyone who's approaching, if you're 55 or older, you got to run the numbers. I'm back to.
Right.
Whatever you have, it doesn't matter if you're rich, you're average, you're poor. Let's just pause now for 15 minutes and have a discussion around how you can plan to get the most. And it's when you don't plan that you can leave a lot of money on the table, and for survivors mostly. Because imagine had we done some planning for your mom and dad, and your mom had another $500. Just as a function of timing, when your dad took his benefits. I mean, these are life-changing decisions that happen now that impact a surviving spouse, for years and years. And it's just really important, and we want to help as many people make that best decision for themselves.
Yeah, she's very fortunate by what we hear of people here in the Sun City area in Arizona. That they're outliving their money and so on and so forth, which is a big buzz topic, I think, for baby boomers. Am I going to outlive my money? At 88 years old, she is sitting there with her income from Social Security and pension, a small life insurance policy, some investment. She I can't get her out of CDs, but they're safe.
Yeah.
And then she's also got she's got some stock, and she owns the house outright. So she's very fortunate because every month she still has a positive cash flow. And I go, well, at this point, at 88 years old, I think we're going to stay right where we are.
Yeah, but you're talking about a different generation, right? She
yes,
probably
absolutely.
Grew up in the Depression, and
she
the
is
profile,
a Depression baby. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we get back to the profile. So you mentioned she has a pension. Boy, there are a lot fewer people that now have pensions in this world. So baby boomers are relying on their own savings, which isn't going to be there now. The housing market's down, It's just a different dynamic, and there's a recent Gallup poll that showed that baby boomers are more dependent on Social Security than ever before. So, again, I'm a broken record. Run your numbers to get the most. It's a big decision. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the same study I mentioned before where 38% of a retiree's income comes from Social Security, the second largest source, and this surprised me the first time I saw it, was part-time work.
Yep.
So that was another. It rounds it up to two thirds. So two thirds of Americans' retirement income, based on data from 2009 that was released last September by Social Security, come from Social Security and work. It's not from outside savings. It's not from a pension. So and guess what? Part-time work impacts how Social Security is paid out. You get discounts if you before full retirement age. So this is an important chapter, and all the investment houses and financial services companies couldn't figure out how to get paid on Social Security advice, and they're in the investment business, not in the how to get a job and Social Security business. So again, this is the larger chunk of what baby boomers need to focus on, and then whatever they have in savings, they should combine it in. And just to finish the numbers, so you have them, Pete, it was 11% is the other tranche of income for the average American. So Social Security and part-time work, you know, are the largest pieces.
Well, I tell you, all of my contemporaries that I know that I am involved in networking groups and organizations with, our vast majority of them are baby boomers and are doing some kind of work. They could no more retire tomorrow and play golf than they could take a rocket ship to the moon. I mean, it really is the way it is, and you're absolutely right when you say it's a different generation. To think that my mother has not only the pension, her Social Security, she pays a minimal amount for her health care, and her drug benefit, and by the time it's all said and done, she still has, as I said, a positive cash flow, albeit small, but a positive cash flow. And she has all of her medical benefits for anything that she needs to do ever, with the exception of long-term care that would be paid for, or is paid for. She walks into the doctor's office, gives them the cards, and everything's taken care of. She never pays a penny out of pocket. That is not heard of very often.
Yeah, those days are changing. You know,
they're gone. I think they're gone.
Yeah,
they're gone. I know they're gone for me. I mean, I know what my health insurance costs me every month, and it's not cheap.
It's funny. There were studies a little over 10 years ago. I've been following all the studies of the biggest fears that baby boomers have, and you know, a lot of the investment houses talk about the fear of running out of money, and you see it typically at the top of the list. But based on how surveys are constructed, the real data that I believe is that the number one fear of baby boomers is healthcare costs.
Yes.
And fear of running out of money is number two. They're both really high, but those are the biggie issues. But you know, there's one thing related to this discussion that I think is really important. And we have these discussions, you know, when we give presentations or we're on the radio like this, and there's always kind of a negative bent to it. You know, there's negativity or complexity. Lots of rules, be smart, or hey, baby boomers have to work. And I think what Robin and I espouse is, you know, this isn't such a bad situation. You can be positive and planning. You know, very few, less than 30% of baby boomers even have a financial plan or a drawdown plan. So what we do is a little different. You know, it doesn't matter, again, if you have a lot or a little, just be smart with what you have. Let's be positive about the future. Let's show you your options so that you make a good decision. And kind of that's the vigor that we want to bring to baby boomers that listen to your show, which is, yeah, things are the way they are, but it's not all bad. We can be positive, and let's take all the components of your life, put them into a plan of action that works for you in a very, very positive way moving forward. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. Always it can be positive as well.
And as we say in the close of our show, which we're going to have to plug into here pretty quickly, as at 50, you're just getting started. It's never too late. It's never too late to start.
You got it. Thank God we live in America. I mean, we're very, very lucky. That's exactly right.
Well, let's give our listeners some closing thoughts. Example, how can they get hold of you? Tell us about your website. Tell us where they should contact you.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Rob.
Our website is www.socialsecuritysolutions.com. Chock full of information. If you're just getting started researching Social Security, it's the best place to start. We've put a ton of educational information on the site so that you can begin that journey. There are also three ways that you can access our expertise and information. You can choose those from our site, and you can see those on there. You can choose to just for us to just tell you what to do. You can choose to subscribe to our software, or, as Bill mentioned earlier, if you want us to hold your hand, that's an option for you as well, and you can see all of that on the site.
Well, that's all good information, and this has been a fast-paced hour as far as I'm concerned, with very interesting topics and great information. I hope that people will listen to this on the replays, on the archives, and we'll publicize the fact that it's here. And you can also, once it's up, you can take it down, and if you're interested, you can embed it into your site as well, so you can use it to your benefit as far as a link is concerned. So I'd like to thank both of you for being with me today. It's been a pleasure meeting you on the phone and on the radio and talking to you, and I think you're doing wonderful stuff, and continued success. I hope it all continues to work out for you.
Great. Thanks, Pete. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon, so enjoy the holidays if we don't get to talk to one another before they're over.
You as well.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show here on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today you brought you excellent conversation with Robin and Bill about Social Security and how it works for you and how it can work for you. And it's not always the fact that you have just one choice, and you should check them out and check out their website, socialsecuritysolutions.com, to make sure that you're getting all the benefit of your Social Security as you get prepared to retire and start to claim your Social Security, and how you can also use it in conjunction with all your other assets and all your other retirement programs that you may have going. You can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every Monday through Friday here at 10 o'clock Arizona time. That's 12 o'clock East Coast, 9 o'clock West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio. And remember that we do much more than host this radio show. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. See everything makes up the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Start getting ready for Christmas. Here it comes, like it or not. Have a great weekend. Take care now. Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.